You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
This morning. Welcome to worship. It's good to see you here today. You can hear me okay? You can hear me okay. Good. Good morning. We have a lot going on today, so we're going to head for the announcements. First of all, our piano, someone was asking me about an update on it. There is, from what I count, there's 16 white ones left and 31 black keys. So if you'd like to continue to donate, I had someone just call me the other day, and there's like $3,150 left out of, I think it was 7,000. So that's amazing. God is being faithful, and it's coming soon. So hopefully very soon we'll be taking a pickup load of people down to try out a piano. So we'll be praying about that, and just so you know, there's 31 black keys left and 16 white ones, for those of you that know that we're raising money to replace that old piano that we have that will not stay in tune very well. Okay, if you don't open up your bulletins, the 4-H Drill Team will be hosting a fundraiser today. We'll have a Popple Ridge concert and Pie Social Bake Sale that'll be today at 4 o'clock. Come early at 3 to meet the Drill Team members and their horses. Before that, of course, we have Floyd Sanders' funeral, celebration of life service today at 2 o'clock. There will be a time for visitation for the community at 1 o'clock, be a little time of sharing. I'll be over there by noon to kind of get ready and just lift up Floyd's family in prayer. And then also tomorrow, as you know, we have Faye Lieberg's celebration of life service here at 11. So just for those of you that that can make that as well. And remember to pray for Faye's family and Floyd's family. Also, Donkey Tales, there's a Dude Ranch musical that will be performed at Heritage Christian School on Friday, April 28th, and that is at 7 o'clock. Quarterly meeting will be next Sunday at 9, and then there will be a pancake meal which will follow the worship service and a free will offering that will go towards Vacation Bible School. April 30th is also our last day of Sunday school. Also, next Sunday at 3 o'clock, the Papa Ridge are doing a concert for a mission trip to Jamaica for St. Patrick's Catholic Church that is held at the Halleck City Hall. That is a week from today. The last day of Good News Club will be this Wednesday. Good News Club will be at the Lancaster Park this Wednesday. So if you are picking up kids, remember to head to the park. Peggy, is that not right? Oh, at the playground. Okay. 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 Okay, wonderful. So that might change, and you may be picking up kids at the school instead. So thank you, Peggy. Also, Tuesday, May 2nd, is the end of the year Good News Club program, and that's at 7 o'clock, and they'll be having root beer floats to follow. Good way to end a wonderful year of ministry to those young kids. Also, Mariah Lutheran and Kennedy is hosting their first annual festival, our first festival of tables on Saturday, May 6th, if you want to look that over and read through it. Also, Confirmation Sunday is May 7th. We have 18 confirmants. Their names are on your bulletin on the back, I believe. And the confirmation kids are asked to be here and ready for pictures at 8:30 that day. So please come for that early so you can get your pictures taken, kids. And also we're inviting the congregation to stay for a taco meal and cake following the service. Notice Blue Water Work Weekend, May 12th through the 14th. There's no cost for that, and all meals are provided, and there's a list of the projects. Please let us know if you plan on attending so we could carpool for those that you can make it. It'll be wonderful. Also, the end of the year youth group party will be held at Jesse and Denise Streggs, and that is Wednesday, May 17th at 6:45. And then also, see the back of the bulletin for a message from Peggy on Harvest America, if you want to check that out as well. Lots of announcements. Anything else that I might be forgetting? Julie. Okay. Okay, so we need at least 7 more ladies to head down to Blue Water. So even though Ida's not here, she's still getting her message across. I love it. Okay, anything else this morning? Right. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Anything else this morning? Okay. Renee, if you'd come up and read scripture for us, please. And prayer. And we still don't have a wireless mic to run around, so we just have to speak loud so Renee can hear you.
Today it's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming of ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now I want to read it from the Message as well. Okay. It was not long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, and you exhaled disobedience. We are all doing it, all of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immersed in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and he set us down in the highest in his company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we have to do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join in him the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Okay. Anybody have prayer requests for today? All right, Galen? Lacey? I'm sorry? Matt and Jordan. Oh, yeah. Matt and Jordan to Haiti. Faye? Yes. Lisa? Oh, well.
It could touch a lot of lives, and both Kathy and I have helped contribute our four concerns.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Julie? Okay.
Also for Mark's weight loss, he has some health problems. Just pray for wisdom.
Peggy?
Those that are traveling, because there's some ice fields and stuff. I know Jackson's got
else? Yep, Kaylee. Okay. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we love you so much. I just thank you for the love that you shower on us every day and how you dance around us with joy, how you are holding us and we don't even know it. I just thank you, Lord, for your son Jesus from raising us from the dead. And I thank you for all that he taught us while he was on earth. I pray, Lord, that we will follow his example, that we will listen to the Holy Spirit daily and just be obedient, put away our sinful desires and our selfishness, and just to really pick up our cross and follow you. To speak to our hearts and minds today, Lord, I just pray for John as he gives his testimony that you will just encourage him, give him a power of words, Lord, open the hearts of the people, let him not be afraid, but just know that he's loved by us more than he'll ever know. I thank you for the community that has surrounded him. I thank you for his heart for us. He's just a wonderful man. I thank you for the life of Faye and Floyd, Lord. I thank you for their witness to our community and just the joy that they shared, for Floyd, for his service for his community and his country. I thank you for his dedication and for Faye, her heart as well. I pray for their family that they will be comforted and hear, feel the peace that you have put upon them, that they may turn to you when the days get sad or long. And I pray that for Teresa Gilly as well, Lord. I pray for Matt and Jordan that they will have a safe trip to Haiti and bring home their little Ryan and Rosie as well, Lord, to show up a big miracle that those papers will get signed and just expand their family even more and to let us love and hold those little ones as they come home to us. I thank you for the seniors, Lord, who are going on their class trip on Friday. I pray for safe travels on the road. I pray for safety from people or harm of any way. I pray for conversations that will open up hearts and lives, Lord, and may they just grow together as a class and have friendships that will last a lifetime. I thank you for Christy Foster, and Lord, I thank you for the gift of artistic ability that you have instilled in her. I thank you for how you have used people from our community and around the towns, Lord, to just showcase how abuse can be beautiful in the end and how you have a will, Lord, that will give you glory. I pray for the hearts that and the minds that walk through that gallery that you will have a spirit upon each and every one to open their hearts, Lord, to hear you, to see you, to just feel your presence as they go through and just let them walk out changed, Lord, in some way. I thank you for Mike, Lord. I thank you for his life. I pray, Lord, that you will just heal his cancer, to take any way, any sinful, evil thoughts that Satan has put in him. Break the strongholds, Lord. I praise, Lord, that he will just find joy and peace and just you. May he just have a purpose, have something, Lord, that he can just look forward to today or tomorrow or for the future, Lord. I thank you for him. I pray for Marge, Lord. I pray that whatever's going on, that you will heal her, grant her wisdom of where to go, who to talk to, what hospital or doctor to see, Lord. And I just thank you for her love that she has for us here. I pray for people who are traveling today to the funeral, that the roads will melt and just become wet and no worries about ice or accidents. And finally, Lord, I thank you for little Catrice's baby who are going to bless our family and our community and just say thank you for their love and dedication, Lord, and the miracle that you give us with babies, Lord. I thank you, Father, for today. I ask that you just grant Galen wisdom and authority in his voice and just put pour peace over him. I love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Renee. If we could have the praise team come up and ushers come for the offering. And for the kids, our offering can in the middle is still for Feed My Starving Children. So. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. God, we praise you for opportunities to come together and worship you. Lord, as a community of believers, God, we pray that you'd guide us. We pray that you would lead us, Lord Jesus, and that you'd bless this offering, Father. And anything we do, Lord, we pray, God, that we would give you glory, that you would be glorified in us, Lord. And Father, we just thank you. Just bless our time of worship now, we pray. This in your name, Jesus. Amen. Would you please join us by singing once again?
Surround.
close our time with inviting the Holy Spirit.
Hearts and our minds tuned into what you want him to teach us each day. Lord, just fill our spirits, Lord, with you. We just pray, Lord, that our lives will show your glory. We just thank you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated. Here we are at the end of our series, our five-part series of what it means to be a blessing. Do you remember the first one that we did? Begin with prayer. That's our B. Next one is listen with care. Next one is eat together, which some of us have done a good job. I have failed a couple times. And the next one, of course, is to serve with love. And then today is sharing your story. And after I preached last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, it's been kind of a blur lately, John came to me and he said, I think I'm supposed to share my story. So we've been praying about it all week, and I know that some have heard a story, some have not, but by Friday morning after men's breakfast and our time together, it became very clear to me that it's time for John to share a story. So when I get towards the end of the message, I'm going to have John come up, and he's going to share a story. I'm going to stand up here with him. Moral support. We didn't call each other to both dress in purple, but it's just how God works. Right, John? So we're in purple today because God designed it. It's pretty awesome. And at the end of John's story, I'm going to ask, I have a video at the bottom. I minimized it. It's on the bottom on the desktop, and I'm going to be playing a song that's going to be our closing hymn, and I think you'll see why when we play it for you. So my question to you is, do you remember a time in your life before Christ, BC in your life, before he made you a new creation, before you were born again, as Jesus talked to Nicodemus about, said he must be born again? Do you remember what your desire was like before Christ changed you? I want you to think about that. What was your thought life like? What did you spend most of your time focusing on? Were you selfish? Did you spend most of your time pondering what you wanted? Maybe you didn't even realize you were lost. Maybe you didn't even realize that you needed a savior or that you needed to be saved. Maybe life was good for you, and so were you. So you thought, life is good. We're good. I don't need anything else. I definitely don't need to be a fanatic Christian like those people over there. You know, I kind of think that's where we all start out in life. We don't even know that we need saving until God reveals it to us. And part of what we've been doing with being this blessing is God calls us, as he says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey what I've commanded you. And what are his commands? So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second, he says, is like it. That was the greatest one. The second is like it, says, love your neighbor as yourself. What we've been doing these last 5 weeks of concentrating on how do we love our neighbor best? If you know your neighbor didn't know Jesus, what would you do? Would you just say, bless you, go on your way, and not even tell them? Or would you be intentional about it? Would you want to be a part of their life? Would you want to get into their life? Do you want to pray for them? Do you want to eat with them? Do you want to listen? Do you want to serve in love? And are you brave enough to share your story? That's my question to you. Are you brave enough to share your story? Our scripture for today, as Renee read, I just love this passage because it just wraps up so much of who I was, who I am today, and who I'm going to be. So I'd just like to look at it again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Paul writes this, and he says to the church, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, speaking of Satan, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. No one is excluded, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Verse 4 says, but because of his great love for us, because of God's great love for us, who is rich in mercy, praise God for that, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's where you and I are at today. If you have been saved, if Jesus has done that work in your life, if God has changed you, you've got work to do. No one's excluded from that. You know that old saying that the devil made me do it? It's a bunch of baloney. We have a sin nature. We don't need help to mess up. But even though Satan does his work on us, he tries to discourage us, I think he is working overtime right now in my life. And I'll be the first to share that. I don't know what it is, but he is not happy with what we're doing. But we don't need help sinning. We struggle with sin because we have a sin nature. Even though we are born again, we are created now in Christ to do good works, we still mess up. That's why we need each other. One of my greatest fears is when someone thinks that they don't need the church and they go off and they just be alone and they worship. I think that is like a sheep going off for Satan to attack. And I'll be very bold in saying that is not healthy for you. We need each other. We don't want to fight this battle alone. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. Scripture tells us we were dead. We used to follow the way of the world, Ephesians. Paul says in Ephesians, we used to follow that. We used to follow Satan. And that spirit of disobedience to God at work was at work in us. That disobedience was at work in us. We were by nature, in other words, we were born in need of a Savior. Objects of wrath, craving the things of that sin nature that we have. We were born needing to be saved. It's plain and simple. That is what these last five messages that have been on, helping people see that the condition they're in and that they need something that they don't even see. They're our friends and our neighbors. So how can we bless people who don't know that they're lost? You ever think about that? How can you make someone see who is blind? We don't. That's God's work. But praise God, he, for some crazy reason, I'm going to ask him someday, why would you want to use us? A whole bunch of people that have a sin nature, and yet you include us in that saving message that you want us to bring to the world. You call us God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to be a blessing in the lives of others, all for the glory of God. So for one last time in this five-part series on evangelizing our world, let's refresh one more time. What's B? I want you to get this. Begin with prayer, right? God gives us people to pray for. If he lays someone on your heart, you pray for them. Don't just put it aside. You pray for them. And then you get together with them and you listen. Listen to the pain in their life. There are people hurting all around us. Pray for them. Listen to them. Eat with them. Go out to lunch with them. Be a part of their life. What a better way to love someone than sitting down together at Foxy Roxy's. I had someone call me just the other day and they said, thank you for going to see my wife in the hospital. And he said, you know what I did today? I sat for 2 hours in a booth at Roxy's with someone that I hadn't connected with in years. He said, do you know what a gift that is to us? We didn't have to get up and leave. Nobody came and said anything to us. But we sat and we talked for 2 solid hours. I was connecting with a good, dear old friend. Something as simple as eating together. And what about serving in love? I'm about to be blessed with getting to preach a message to the Santer family about someone that I look at as someone that knew how to serve in love. I watched that man year after year serve, and he didn't have to. And yet he served in love. And then I think about today, and I think of John just faithfully coming to me and saying, I think I'm supposed to share my story. If you knew John Eberle 9 years ago, 12 years ago, he would never have said that to me. He would think I was crazy. You today, John? Don't answer that. According to Genesis 12:2, God is always seeking to reach and restore the world through blessing. That's what he tells Abraham. What we've been doing in this series is building relationships with people who need Jesus in their lives. My prayer is that you've taken this seriously and that you become intentional in what you are doing for the kingdom. One of my greatest fears for my life, and I shouldn't be afraid of it, but I am, I fear that I waste time. Precious, precious time. And yet I know it's not me doing the work, it's God doing the work, so why do I fear? That's a weakness in my life. On our insert today, we are told that once we begin building a relationship and earning someone's trust, we are to look for opportunities to bless them. It's that simple. Share your story of how Jesus has transformed you. When Christ changed you, you became different. You became a new creation, Scripture says. You experience grace. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, yet God gave us that grace. You know what it's like to be forgiven, don't you? You know what it means to have an eternal purpose in your life. At least I hope you do. I hope you're getting there. You treat people differently if you've been changed. You make life decisions differently. And you should want to share this new life, this new way of thinking and living with others. It should become what your focus is. Not just occasionally, but it should become every moment of every day. How can I be a blessing? On the back of your insert, you will see what is recommended on how to share your story. And hopefully through prayer and listening and eating together and serving in love and that you've built a relationship. I hope you've done that. And if you haven't, it's not too late. Just because you didn't do it during this series doesn't mean you can't start. So a good place to start out in sharing your story would be to tell them, I think, what you were like, what you used to be like. Now, on the sermon notes, you'll see it's quite different. I don't have scriptures there, but I have questions from something that Julie gave me from a study. And that happens so much, totally unrelated, but she comes with something that absolutely fits for this morning. So I had all my questions and scripture written out on my sermon notes. I threw it away, and I wrote this one, because I knew when she brought it to me, that was absolutely God bringing that. So before, what was your life like before? In other words, what were you like before Christ? Think back. What were you like before Christ? Share that. Are you willing to share what you were like before Christ in your life. That's uncomfortable. How about now, during? Share what God is doing in your life right now. Tell them the journey of how you made that commitment to Him. What brought you to Jesus? What did God use in your life, or who did He use in your life to turn that light on? And then the after, that after God changed you and made a commitment, how has your life changed? This isn't anything that you have to train for. It should just be in you. But you need to do it. Sharing your story is simple and it's hard. It's God's work in you, and all you're doing is telling how He changed you and made you new. But Satan loves to tell us that we haven't really changed, doesn't he? He likes to say, you're really not all that different. Or why would anyone believe you? They knew what you were like before. If you tell them that you're different now, they're going to think you're a hypocrite. You know, my thought on that is just tell your story and see what God does with it. Don't listen to the lies. Maybe they will think that you're weird or different, but here's a news flash, they probably already did. And I'm okay with that. I'm sure you are too. Maybe you're worried they will think that you think that you're better than them. I've heard that before. You think you're this holy person because now that you're telling me about Jesus? Can you refuse to be offended and share with them in love anyway? As you share your story, I would encourage you to be open, be genuine. Let them know that you still struggle. Don't hide your struggle, please. Can you think of any better blessing in trying to bless others than to introduce them to a Savior? Someone that will change them for eternity. As I said, John came to me last week and he said, I think I need to share my story. And right away, my pastor hackles went up and I thought, I want to protect my brother. And I don't want him to share it. And God began to convict me through the week and he said, I'm the one that protects John, not you. You're not God, I am. So I've been praying this week, and as gone with the busyness of the week and coming home, Friday morning was so important to me. I thought I would cancel. I didn't get home till almost 11:30 at night with the sixth graders, and I thought I don't want to get up at 4 to make breakfast, and I knew there was no doubt I had to. I had John waiting. And I called him at 4:30 and he was ready to go. And God made it very clear to me. Once again, I needed to listen. Because it's time to share your story, John. John, if you'd want to come up. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads with me, all of you, and to pray. And believe it or not, I'm going to ask you something that you're not used to doing because we don't do this very often. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and place it forward like this. And I'm going to lay my hand on John, and I want to see all your hands raised, please. I know this is uncomfortable. I don't care. Well, I do, but I don't. Does that make sense? And let's just pray for John that God's amazing presence would just be so evident that as we invited the Holy Spirit to come in to pray or to be with us this morning, to flood this place, that you'd speak through John's testimony. It's just his story of what God has done in his life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our brother John, Lord. Father, you've done the work in his life. This is not of us. This is of you, Lord, and we know that, and we give testimony to that. To God be the glory. We pray for John that you'd bless him with the words to speak, that it would just be, that would come from you. It's his story, but it's one that you've written on his heart. It's not what we write. It's what you write in us. As he speaks, help us to be ready to receive it and to see the work that you've done. God, we just praise you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
First of all, before I start, I want to thank Matt and Mark for coming today. I've only known them for a few weeks, but I love you guys with all my heart. And I can see Jesus in both of you, and I'm so glad that you're here. A life changed. The beginning of my story started when I was a teenager in the early 60s. I had accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I never really knew him as Lord of my life. I need my water there, if someone could bring it for me. In terms of my relationship with my father, it was very strained. We really never had a father and son relationship. My father seemed to be driven by his job and alcohol. He put all of his energy into his work and just never seemed to have time for his family. What I want to share with you next is very difficult for me. My father never wanted a second child. This was the beginning of what I would call an abnormal childhood for me. My mother had to play both roles, and this was very difficult for Mom, but she kept our family together as best as she could. What I noticed as a young boy was that my father never had any time for me. He never hugged me or shook my hand, never showed any affection toward me. He never went to any recreation activities that a father and son would participate in. Please take it from me firsthand just how important it is to have that father and son relationship, especially in a young boy's life. I long to have that. I want to make it very clear, I do not hold any hatred for my father. I loved my father as much as I could during those trying years, and I will always hold a warm place in my heart for my dad. As a young man, I constantly searching for love and acceptance. So at the age of 24, I got married, but the marriage lasted only 3.5 years. I was devastated when my marriage ended. This is when my life took a drastic turn to the worst nightmare of my life. I totally sold my life out to homosexuality. I attended several churches and was prayed for deliverance, but it never lasted. I continued to go back to that old lifestyle. In the last church I attended in St. Louis, the pastor said he was a prophet. He would call me up on the podium and embarrass me in front of the congregation. This totally turned me against the church, so I left the church. After some time, everything came to a head. I went through bankruptcies, penniless, plus I left my job of 13 years because of the stress I was under. On top of that, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and battled greatly with depression. It was then I called my sister in Lancaster for help. That was the start of my move to northern Minnesota. Upon arrival in Lancaster, I didn't know any believers, and so for the first year, I stayed to myself. I kept my apartment dark during the day and dealt with the depression the best I could. After that, I made the decision to start attending the Covenant Church. I want to make a quote from the Apostle Paul. When I brag, I only brag in the Lord Jesus. There are two people whom God has put in my life, Galen and Julie Nordine. I am not here to glorify them. I'm not here to glorify Galen or Julie. I want to make that very clear. I am here to tell you that when believers surrender their lives to helping people, the result is powerful. So with that said, all glory and honor to our Lord Jesus. Because of their dedication to helping me, the result is total freedom. As the days and months went by, I saw something I had never seen before. Two lives that were filled with love and compassion. They started counseling me, quoting me the word constantly, and praying with me on a daily basis. They never embarrassed me, always used uplifting words to encourage me. They were constantly showing God's love, true love, and compassion. I knew I had found the real thing. They since have introduced me to you beautiful people. I am so grateful for that. I just can't tell you how much I love all of you. And you are such a part of my life. I now have so many true born again friends. I've heard it said in life that you will have a few friends, but not acquaintances. This is not true in my life, for I have been truly blessed with an abundance of true friends. God blessed me with an opportunity to serve on the church council and serve as deacon, plus getting to sing for the Lord Jesus. Jesus has given me a compassion for helping people. My prayer is that my story will help set people free. I have been free for 12 years now. Thank you, Father. For 30 years while being in the lifestyle, when life was too overwhelming, I would find my way back to the world of sin. Since I am a new creation in Christ Jesus and totally, totally delivered, I find that when I get weary of life, I now go directly to the Word of God and prayer. It works every single time. The world can appear to have so much to offer us, but as you know, it never satisfies us. It is quite different with the Lord Jesus, and Jesus is working 24/7 on our behalf to do a complete work in us. In closing, let me just say, don't let Satan tell you that you cannot be delivered. I am a prime example, and remember this, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, and I love you all.
Thank you, John. We are surrounded by so many hurting people who feel trapped and like there's no way out. Sometimes they hide behind smiles. Sometimes they hide behind laughter. Sometimes they just hide. What a better way to be a blessing in someone's life than to let them know there's a better life. And that life is found only in Jesus Christ. He is the one who will set them free, as John said. He will break the chains of bondage, and he will give them a new heart. I'd like us to play just that video. Chainbreaker, that's who our God is.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Father in heaven, we hear your call on our life. Somebody testify. You're the chain breaker, Lord. You're the one that can change people. God, help us to speak the truth in love as your word says. Help us to look to the scripture that says God's kindness leads to repentance. Father, use us, we pray. Give us that work to do. Help us to go from here, Lord, and be encouraged, Lord, not to be condemned in any way, but to be encouraged to serve you. Help us to speak boldly the truth speaking in love, of course, Lord. We praise you now, Father. We praise you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Jesus Christ, for all that you've done in our lives and continue to do. And we just trust the promise that you said that you, the work that you begin in us, you will complete it. We just praise you now, Father. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.